I know why the Lord changed your mind on the songs, and I want you to sing that first one for an invitation. If you're saved and you know it, just raise your hand. You, without a doubt. Praise the Lord. Now, if you didn't raise your hand, this message is for you. And if you did raise your hand, I want you to think about as I'm preaching this, are you living up to the potential that you need to? Take your Bible. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Sitting there debating and praying and asking God for a sign of if this is exactly where he wants me to be this morning. And then when Brother Robert sung that first song, the Lord said, yep, there you go. The message of the cross. The message of the cross. If you're saved, that's why you're saved. If you're saved, when you think about what I'm going to preach this at today, are you living up to your potential as far as what Jesus wants you to do? If you're not saved, why in the world are you not saved when you know how much this Savior loved you and died for you? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. If you're there, say amen. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. God, we love you. And Lord, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray right now, God, you would help me, dear Lord, to do my very best, to God, to preach this in a way, Lord, that you would be pleasing, God. God, I pray, God, you just help your word to go out and accomplish what it needs to accomplish today. Lord, if there's one that's not saved, God, help them to realize that today's the day of salvation, Lord. And for all of us that are saved, God, help us to realize how much you really loved us, God, and what you really did, dear Lord, to save us, God. Have your way right now. We'll praise you for all you do, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we're living in a world where they're trying to change the message of the cross. They're trying to get away from preaching the hard stuff in the Bible. They're trying to do their very best to please everybody. They're trying to pat everybody on the back. And, you know, they come in and try, like Brother David said in Sunday school this morning, try to tell you how good you're doing and all this. And thank God for Christians that strive. And thank God for Christians that do good. And I appreciate that. And I'm telling you, folks, sometimes, I won't ever forget somebody years ago. They got out of church, and it kind of got back to me. I called them and invited them back, and it got back to me and said, all you ever do was just preach real hard. And my response to them was this: well, if you came on Sunday night and Wednesday night, you get the preaching that God wants the church to hear. Sunday morning, we have more lost folks in church than we do on Sunday night and Wednesday night. And most of the time on Sunday morning, I believe God gears a preacher that west that wants to do what the Lord wants him to do. I believe God gears those messages. Every once in a while, we come in and God's able to give us a message and just uplift the church, and we can shout it out. But listen to the fact of the matter is, there's more people here right now that's not saved than will be here tonight. And every once in a while, Christians need to hear a message on the cross. Amen? But, you know, they're trying to get away from the bloody stuff. And let me tell you something. I'm not ashamed for my grandchildren to hear about the bloody cross. Amen? I'm not ashamed for your children to hear about the bloody cross. Hey, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Amen? Understand something. It's the message of the cross. That is the good news of Jesus Christ. So I want to just look at just a few things this morning. The preaching of the cross. Number one, it's a strange message. It's a bloody message. You can't preach the cross without talking about the blood of Jesus. It's still the blood that does what it needs to do. To them, it's foolishness. This is the word that we get our word for, moron, to the lost and dying world. It's foolishness to preach about the cross. But to every one of us that's saved, when Brother Robert started singing that first song, once was enough for me. Hey, my mind goes to the cross of Jesus. Once was enough for him to bleed and die. Once was enough for him to suffer that kind of a death. And he did it all for me, glory to God. Hey, I'm telling you right now, yes, it's a strange message to a lost and dying world. But to all of us that are saved, that's a precious message. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 through 24 says this, "For after that the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jew requires sign, and the Greek seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolish, but unto them which call both Jews and Greeks Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." Yes, it's a precious, but it's shocking, but it's precious to us. It's a shocking message. For somebody that don't know, and for somebody that has never been to our Easter play, as far as a play goes, I've never seen it done more realistic than what we can do it in our Easter play. And we know that that don't even touch the surface of what happened on that cross. When you get talking about the cross, it was a brutal, it was an awful death, and it was experienced by Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 26, talk about how they scourged him. In Luke chapter 22, talk about how Jesus was beaten. In Matthew chapter 27, talks about how Jesus was spit on. In Isaiah chapter 50, talks about how his beard was plucked out. In Matthew 27, verse 26, he was mocked. In Matthew 27, verse 35, he was stripped naked on that cross. In Matthew chapter 27, he was nailed to that cross. The ancient Assyrians were the first ones to start crucifying their victims. However, they did not nail them to the cross. They would hang them on a cross and tie them on a cross. And death took many, many days. But the Romans perfected it. The Romans started nailing people to a cross. In other words, it would go through the wrist bone, and then it would go through the feet. And what happened was they would suffocate. And when they would hang on that cross, they would push themselves up. Imagine the pain that Jesus felt when all those nerve endings in his wrist were being severed by those nails, and all the nerve endings in his foot, and all the suffering that he had to do. And he did that for you and I. And I know it's shocking, and I know we don't want to hear that kind of stuff, but glory to God, he loved you that much. He loved you that much. The message of the cross is a simple message. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That don't take a genius. You ain't got to have a doctorate degree, Brother David, to explain that passage of Scripture. Thank God for education, and I'm not knocking education, but you ain't got to have a doctorate degree to explain John 3:16 and 17. You ain't got to have a doctorate degree. You ain't got to have a degree in theology to explain Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. For with the mouth, heart, man believeth in the righteous, and when the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you got saved, that's how you got saved. It was God dying on a cross for you, and it was you getting on your knees somewhere and just calling out on him and asking him to save you. That's a message that even the youngest grandchild can understand. It's a simple message. It's not about turning over a new leaf. You can turn over the whole tree and go to hell. It's about being saved. The purpose of the cross. The purpose of the cross is about making a statement. I'd never thought about that like this until this week studying this. The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy, and I'm not going to go back and read the scripture, but in Deuteronomy, God explained his love to Israel. He explained his love to Israel in great detail. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3, God says, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. But understand something. When we go to the cross, all the stuff in the Old Testament, Brother David and Brother Tony, everything in the Old Testament where God proved his love and God showed his love and God said, I love you, I love you, I love you. But when we go to that cross, God proved, without a doubt, his love for not only Israel, but for the world. On that cross, God proved his love. It's one thing for me to tell you I love you, but it's another thing for me to show you I love you. It's one thing, you know, I thought about this, and I heard some preacher say this week as I was studying. He talked about how that God, I believe it was E.V. Hill said, God gave his only son. God gave his only son. You know, David's got two sons, and if David was to give Tucker up, at least he had another son. God was out of options after the first one, but he loved you enough. Glory to God that he gave his only son. God proved his love for you and I. It's not only proving his love, it was about providing salvation. The Bible tells us there's no other way to cleanse sin. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, there's no other way to cleanse sin but by the shedding of blood. You go back to Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, the first thing God did was kill that animal. Blood had to be shed to save from sin. And glory to God, that precious blood that was shed on that cross was enough to save the whole world. Think about that for just a minute. All the sin that had ever been committed before the cross, all the sin that was committed during the cross, and all the sin that was ever being committed since the cross was covered when Jesus took our place. Now understand what I just said. Jesus took our place. You should have died on that cross. Wes, when he hung on that cross, instead of putting King of the Jews, they could have put, he's doing this for Wes. He's doing this for Jackie. You know what would have been shocking? He could have put, he's doing this for Pilate. He's doing this for Herod. He's doing this for Jerry Burr. He took your place. He took your place. But not only was it about that, it was about defeating Satan. Up until this time, Satan was kind of just roaming around doing his own thing. But ever since Satan had sinned, or Lucifer had sinned and was kicked out of heaven, he had been in the business of trying to hinder the work of God. He had been, and I believe with all my heart that when Jesus went to that cross, I believe with all my heart that when he went to that cross and when he said it is finished, Satan was defeated. Well, he's still fighting. He's still fighting you. I'm going to stop right there and let that sink in just a minute. He's still fighting you. But you know who he ain't fighting no more? You know who he ain't tempting no more? You know who he ain't bothering no more? Oh, he tried. He took him out into the wilderness, and after Jesus had fasted 40 days and was hungered and was just beat down and physically and spiritually, hey, he done his very best to defeat him. He threw everything he had, glory to God, and Jesus stood up and took everything he had in the wilderness. And then when he went to the cross, Satan unloaded everything there was in hell to unload on our Savior. And glory to God, he took every drop of it. He took every bit of it. And when he bowed his head on that altar, on that cross, he said, it is finished. Amen. Satan had a party. We've done it. We've got him now. But the power of the cross, Oh, yeah. They went up there. Joseph of Arimathea, they come up there and took Jesus down off of that cross. They wrapped his body. They cleaned his body up. They took his body and placed it in that borrowed tomb. But the cross wasn't finished yet, glory to God. On the third day, he came up victorious over death, hell, and the grave. I'm telling you right now, hey, that cross might have still been standing over there. But where... That old black preacher I was listening to this week, E.B. Hill. Some of y'all need to go back and listen to that man. That'll make you wreck your car. Wes, he said many people had died before. My Lord, have mercy. He said many tracks had led into the graveyard, but never had a set of tracks led out of the graveyard. He said, but on that day, on that day, he said Abraham's tracks had went into the graveyard, and Abraham was still there. He said Moses' tracks had went into the graveyard, and Moses was still there. But I'm telling you, Jesus' tracks led into the graveyard, and on the third day, glory to God, Jesus' tracks led out of the graveyard. He wasn't carried out of the graveyard. He walked out of the graveyard. Glory to God. Why? Because he loved us. Because he loved us. For no other reason. The power of the cross destroyed the power of sin. How do you mean, preacher? Every one of you that raised your hand a while ago that said you were saved, if you really meant it, can take me back to a time, Benji, where you found yourself on your knees and you asked God to forgive you of your sins. And the power of the cross, the power of that blood that was shed on the cross, when Tony got down on his knees, came down and wiped the slate clean. Everything Tony had ever did up to that point, every cuss word, every immoral thought, everything he'd ever said wrong, everything he'd ever done wrong, was wiped clean by the power of the cross. Some of y'all ought to shout right there. Because I'm telling you right now, if I get to preaching on this too much, we'll be here all day long. And some of y'all ain't got that kind of time. Everything Johnny had ever done, everything Melvin had ever done, everything Brian had ever done, the power of the cross took care of it. Sin was defeated. Let me tell you something. And sin no longer has power over us. I know we still fall. I know we still make mistakes. I know we still sin. I know that. I do. But the power of the cross is still in effect. But 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sin was defeated, hell was defeated, and heaven was delivered. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Verse 6, after Thomas made his stupid statement, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John Wesley, the great evangelist, was returning home one night, and he was robbed. The thief figured out that John Wesley, being a preacher, didn't have a whole lot of money. But the preacher gave him up the money and had a little bit of Christian literature. And as the bandit was leaving, Wesley cried out, stop! I have something else to give you. The robber stopped. My friend said, Wesley, you may live to regret this sort of life. If you ever do, hear something to remember. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And the thief ran off. Years later, Wesley was greeting the people at church where he had just preached. A businessman came by and shook his hand and said, I am the one that robbed you many years ago, and your word stuck in my mind, and I got saved, and the power of the cross changed my life. I'm no longer a thief. Think back on where God brought you from. Think back on all the ungodliness and all the sin that God saved you from. If you're not saved, why in the world would you not accept this Savior that loved you enough to die for you? If you are saved, why in the world wouldn't you love this Savior enough to live your life for him? Like that book says to be faithful to him, to be faithful to his church, to be faithful in the things of God. Knowing what he did for us, why would we not sell out for him? It's a powerful thought, ain't it? Let me ask you a question. Was once really enough for you? Think about that. I want Brother Robert to come back and sing that song. Was once really enough for you, or do you keep crucifying him daily? Was once really enough for you, or do you think he's got to die every time you make a foolish mistake? I'm just telling you, folks. Jesus loves us enough. I believe with all my heart this song. I believe with all my heart once was enough. Let me just throw this at you. I believe if it took him going back to that cross, he loved Tony enough that he'd go back to that cross again. I believe that with all my heart. How is it with you and Jesus right now? How is it with you and Jesus right now? God, we love you. Lord, we come to you in Jesus' name. And God, now, Lord, you just touch hearts. God, I pray, God, for every Christian in this building. God, help us, the Lord, to just look at our lives, God, and ask the question, am I doing what I need to do? God, I pray for that one that might not be saved right now, God. Lord, that you help them to realize that today is the day of salvation, God. God, you do something in this church right now, God, that no man can do. Holy Ghost, you do something in this church, God, that no man can do. You draw right now, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.